All right, welcome to another episode of the Joe and Doug Show. We are back. I am back from vacation.
Ready to rock and roll.
I am ready to rock and roll. It's good. You know, on this show, we love to do all sorts of stuff from just stuff that's fun for us to, you know, stuff that's real pertinent to your daily lives. And we hope that in all that we do, we help you become the best version of yourself. Tuesday, next week, we're going aliens.
Yes.
It's going to be awesome. I don't know if you saw, but the government admitted that they have stuff that was not made in this world, and that puts out a whole bunch of different questions. So Tuesday's going to be a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. So if you're in that conspiracy group and you liked our conspiracy theory stuff and you want to watch, and we're going to dive into some UFOs and aliens and, I don't know, lizard people, who knows, whatever else comes up with the topic, it'll be a lot of fun. But today, I want to talk about catching your breath. I'm actually going to be preaching that topic this weekend, and it's something you and I have both done in the last month. You went on a bit of a road trip. I just got back from time in the sun and pool and beach, just enjoying time with family and friends. And I think for so many folks, we never truly catch our breath. And you and I have talked about rhythms before. We've talked about taking time off. But I want to get into this idea of catching your breath, because I feel like for most people, they always feel like to the next thing. Even on vacation, they don't know how to catch their breath. Yep. I've watched people go on vacation, and they're more tired when they get back. Yeah, they're not charged up. And so to really catch your breath, what are some of the things you have to do? You might even use to tune yourself to the right frequencies to get yourself back in. To that place. How do you catch your breath when you go away? You've been going out in your camper and stuff like that. How do you turn the world off and turn into that thing that you really
need?
Well,
let me turn it on its head and speak about the opposite of that first. So you're a gambler and you're on a roll.
Yeah.
Right? The worst thing that you want to happen is someone come up to you and say, let's go do something else.
Yeah,
you're like, no way. Why? Because you think, because it's continuing, it will continue. And if you break away from it, it might not resume. Why is that? Because you get a different state of mind, different conditions happen, different energy, everything else is changed. Same thing reverses. If you can just pull yourself out of a moment, when you come back, none of the same factors exist when you resume. So you get a fresh chance to hit a reset button. And so long that you don't bring yesterday back to today, you have a chance of starting it all brand new.
Interesting. You know, I think for a lot of folks, they're worried that if they catch their breath too much, the world's just going to pass them by. So, for instance, I was gone for 10 days. I came back, and there was stuff that had happened with the building project at church that happened while I was gone. There were crises that happened. There were people that got sick. There were people that went to the hospital. The world kept spinning, right? When you go away, the world keeps spinning
That's
in
right.
your places of employment. And I think sometimes when we don't catch our breath, we overvalue our input. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely.
Because...
But you're in the moment. You get sucked into that.
You do. But I think for a lot of people, they think, well, if I pull away too much, you know, work this or work that, or this will happen or that will happen. And I don't think... I said this a couple weeks ago in a sermon. I said, you know, if you quit your job tomorrow, they would hire somebody the next week. But we will move heaven and earth for our places of employment sometimes, and places that we hate, for sometimes places that don't treat us all that well or compensate us all that well, but we'll go the extra mile because of who we are, and we feel the need to do that because it does something in us. But all the while, it's putting us in a place where we're at a net negative. We're constantly putting out. And man, these last 10 days, I was like, it just feels so good.
Yeah.
And now I get to come back and I get to recalibrate. I'm refocused on, man, here are the five things that I'm going to accomplish over the next little bit. We're going to be hyper-focused on these things. I was able to block out a lot of the distractions. But for so many people, they feel like, well, if I don't do that or if I don't show up, you know, like the world's going to pass them by. And it causes you to live like out of breath all the time,
running from
thing to thing. You know, I often say to people who feel they have that FOMO, like they're always going to miss out if I go on vacation or if I do this. You know, Michael Jackson died.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the world celebrated for a day.
Yes.
A week, right? He was on all the radio stations, right? Ask my kids who Michael Jackson is. I have no idea.
No.
Same thing with Prince, right? Prince died. Both of them, fantastic musicians, shaped a culture and a generation, no doubt. Go ahead and ask my kids who Prince is. But the concept, like, we live in these temporary spots, and we don't think about the eternal implications. Like, what's my legacy going to be? I'm spending so much energy that if I don't stop and pour in to my family, pour into myself, that self-care kind of thing. Like, I really recalibrated. Now, I told you I ate too much food on this, which is par for the course. It's vacation, lots of pizza and ice cream and all that stuff. And honestly, during vacation, I got to do this real recalibration in myself and a number of conversations I had with my wife as well as some friends. And I was just like, I think I'm ready to come back and be a healthy person.
Nice. Right? I love it.
But if I don't stop to catch my breath, even in the midst of pizza and ice cream and all the fun stuff, if I didn't have those conversations, if I didn't deal with some of those anxieties that I have around those things, that I just didn't have enough blank space on the paper to deal with some of that stuff. I don't know if I come back and say that because I'm in the middle of a building project. My wife and I are buying a new house. Like, there's a lot of balls in the air. But at the end of the day, it feels so good.
Yeah. And well, we have a lot of like epiphany meetings where we'll have this good idea, right? And we'll say, oh, this applies to everything. But then the minute you leave that meeting, everything you had set up before that, you start doing. And the more you take the regular scheduled day, the less likely you are to hit that epiphany that you came up with like only an hour earlier. Yeah. So, I mean, it's your choice. If you come back from vacation and just resume Doug, then guess what's going to go away with it? That epiphany that you had on vacation.
No, exactly right. And so many people do that, right? We go to a conference or maybe a spiritual retreat or something like that. And we have a moment, a breakthrough moment, an epiphany meeting. And then we're like, oh, I'm going to come back and everything's going to be different. We're all charged up. But I find most of the time that's motivational charge, which is good. A motivational charge will take you a certain distance. It'll take you a couple of weeks, right? That's why everybody buys gym memberships in January, and by February it's a donation, right? You know, in January we've used it a couple of days, but then February, March, you find out who was really deep down had the conviction and the belief that they were going to change, and this was going to be the year they were going to run that 5K or half marathon or whatever. Motivation, I find, is in short stints, and so like on a vacation, you can have a moment where you're like, oh, yeah, I really need to do that when I get back. You can make a to-do list. And I've done those things before. But I think this time I really said, I don't care. Like, I don't know if that sounds – like, I just gave myself as much blank paper as I could. I just wanted blank space. I wanted margin. I didn't want to come in to vacation time with an agenda. And the people we were with were so gracious to give us the space to just, you know what?
Do whatever you will.
Yeah. I'm just going to sit here and stare at the pool. Yeah. And nothing else matters. And it was really nice to have that separation. And then when those things come up, you're like, oh, that must be important. It's come up because I've cleared the deck,
right,
so to speak. You've run, right? You've done you did a 5K not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
And in running, the pause and the catching your breath and the cadence of the run is so vital and so important. How about in life and in work? How do you help yourself or your company? Obviously, we're talking vacations. We just got to spend some time with our family and people that we love. How do you find that place to give yourself blank space on the paper? Like, I don't have to have an agenda for the day. I can just sit. I can just be. Do you have to schedule that in? It seems kind of counterintuitive, right?
Well, it's even you have to like really set that kind of stuff up. Remember we talked a while ago, like when I'm really in a rut, mm-hmm. I'll take my desk and I'll just move it to another room, right? So it's a brand new place. Mm-hmm. So you take that philosophy where you merge yourself back into your life when you come on vacation. You just got to do the same thing. Go to a place you don't normally go to and pretend. Use your imagination to pretend like you hit the reset button. As long as you get your family to play along with you, you're in good shape.
Well, I was going to say, with four kids, I mean, right now there's not a ton of activities, but, you know, God willing, you know, we signed the boys up for soccer, and we're going to have some stuff starting to fill in those spaces in the fall. And you start talking about four kids, just doctor appointments, dentist, you know, school, after school activities, church. I mean, you start looking at your calendar, you're like, well, I can squeeze in about 10 minutes for daydreaming there.
Yeah, you're stuck in that rut.
Like, you're stuck in that spot. Yep. And the thing that I loved about vacation was I think we had – one commitment the whole time we were there, which was a dinner with friends. That was our big commitment. The rest of the time, we literally were like, what do you guys want to do today? We're going to go to the pool? Okay, let's go to the pool. You know, well, we're going to the ocean today? Awesome, let's go to the ocean. Like, it was so low-key, it gave me so much margin to just be like, you know what? I'm going to take some extra time and just sit here and stare and think about whatever comes up. And, I don't have to feel – and it was such a great de-stressor. And it let some stuff that I probably wasn't thinking about or feeling come to the surface. And so I got to, like, talk about some stuff. I even did some grieving. I know that sounds a little weird, but, like – I'm still processing through some stuff with the passing of my dad and my father-in-law, and I know everybody's like, well, that's 3 years ago. But, like, some stuff came up, and I was like, man, I wasn't anticipating that. But I got to process through that. I got to have a great conversation with my wife, a good cry, and it was like, I cleared the deck. It feels so good.
Right. Have you ever watched the movie Office Space?
No.
Okay, got to watch this movie. Okay. So basically one of the premises, this guy lives in this totally stressed-out world where he hates his job, he hates his life, he hates everything, right? And so his girlfriend takes him to a hypnotist. And the hypnotist puts him under, but then the hypnotist dies of a heart attack while he's still under hypnosis. So he's stuck in this hypnotic state. And it's a state where he's relaxed. So now he shows up in his own life. He's like, I don't care. I'm not paying bills anymore. I don't like paying bills. And so he goes into work and like, I don't even care. He says the worst things. And his life turns so much for the better because he checked out of his normal reasons why he was in such a rut.
Mm.
So good.
It is. And it's interesting because I think we all have that perception that we put out to people. And I think I'm pretty consistent being the same person I am sitting around the dinner table or hanging out with people as I am on the platform or on a podcast. You know, it's difficult to try and be three people, you know, at the same time, right? Being one person is tough enough. But, man, when you get to really clear the deck and realize, like, all right, I really wasn't saying this, but I was feeling this and thinking this, and I probably should have said this, or, you know, I really suppressed this thing because I wanted to get over that hurdle and I thought that would help me, but actually I'm carrying this weight and that's just dumb. I shouldn't carry that. It's so refreshing. It's difficult to leave when you have that. Now, I understand there's some people, they go on vacation and they got 97 things planned and it's not really a vacation. You didn't like sit down for 2 seconds. But I'm so refreshed. I'm ready to preach. I feel like in a more chill spot. I don't know if that makes sense. Even with like the kids, they're like, oh, I want to do that. I'm like, sure. Where before I'd be like, no, don't do that. You know, I was a little bit more high strung with certain things. And, you know, we were, my wife and I were watching our daughter. It was first time for our kids in the Atlantic Ocean. And Charlotte had been there when she was like 2, but she didn't really remember. So they were totally excited for the waves. And Abraham had a love-hate relationship because we got there and he picked up a thing of sand and shoved it in his mouth. And
yeah.
Then he was crying. Yeah, I was like, buddy, what are you doing? I was like, did you smell it first? It's gross. And the other three were very excited. The boys were a little more slow to get in, but Charlotte was like, in. She's like, I'm going to go out as far as you'll let me. And so we went in for a while. And then day 2, the waves were a bit rougher. They actually they had a lifeguard on a jet ski and stuff like that. And it was getting a little... Like, they were knocking me and my brother around. We were like, wow. And then we're watching our kids, and they're, like, getting Woo-hoo! Pummeled and having a blast. And we're like, all right. But at one point, I came out of the water, and I was standing there, and I was jumping waves with some of the younger – my younger boys. And Charlotte's like, can I stand? I'm like, sure. My wife was like – she's like, I can't stand
freaking
it.
Out.
Yeah, can't watch this. That wasn't a freak out, but she was just more or less like – it was a strong undertow. The waves were – and she was more comfortable if I was standing there next to her. And I was like, listen, I was like, the lifeguard's right there. I was like, they're trained to, like, look for this stuff. I was like, I'll be here with the kids. I'm, you know, 20 feet away. Like, she'll be okay. And she's like, I can't stand down here and watch that. And one of the things that we really, you know, noticed was, you know, when she went and sat down with Abraham, like, it was this cool thing that happened for Charlotte. Like, she just was in the zone. She had not a care in the world, was having so much fun. And she didn't drown. She came home with us. You know, she's at home having a blast today. Total win. But she got to have so much fun in there. And I could have very easily walked out there. And that would probably have been typical me, is like, hey, let's come back in a little bit. Let's play it safe for you. And, you know, early on in parenting, we didn't do that as much. I think we had this conversation with you and Debbie. We would say to Charlotte all the time, like, be brave, not be careful. Like, when we felt like saying be careful, we would tell her to be brave. And sometimes it was like, be brave. You know? And and she would jump off stuff and everything else. But then, you know, you have a second kid and a third kid, and you're just like, I don't want to go to the emergency room. Please be careful. But that mantra puts stuff into them that isn't there. Like, they don't have that fear, but you've programmed it into them.
Exactly.
And, you know, and it's one of those things that we've started to acknowledge a little bit and take note of. And so, you know, we literally stood there watching Charlotte get pummeled by these waves that were rough. And I said, you know, she's having a ball. Like, let her, she's not afraid. We don't need to be afraid for her. And there's some things I get, like, as a parent, you're like, yeah, I don't want you to be stupid.
Look at, he's in the tiger's mouth.
Right, right. I don't want to be stupid, but, I think when you're in that right rhythm and you've caught your breath, it's easier. It's not apathy. That's the whole thing. Like you were saying with the Office Space, the guy was like, I don't care. It wasn't apathy in that moment. It was just like, it was a peace. Like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Just knowing.
Yeah. It's a peace that you just kind of get comfortable in that, space. So to flip this a little bit, because I've been talking about my vacation. Apparently, I missed
you're
this.
You're excited. Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Doug is leaving for vacation tomorrow morning.
It was like 3 podcasts in a row that I was hoping to be on, and then we're like, oh, we're on a boat. No, we're here, because we had no plan, and it was wonderful. And if Pastor Mike listens to this, he'll remind me that you didn't have a plan, and it was wonderful, yes. Wasn't it? Because he's not a planner, and I have everything planned.
He'll remind you that.
But I think for people managing stress, anxiety, worry, so many people deal in those. They medicate for those. They struggle with those, and they all take your breath away, right? When you think about it, when someone has a panic attack, they get a brown paper bag, right, and they have to catch their breath.
Right.
And I think what one of the epiphanies, if you will, on vacation that I had was, like, this is such a great time to catch my breath, to deal with some of those thoughts that maybe I wasn't dealing with, to have blank space to do nothing but whatever I want. And I really came back like at peace. Like I came home and I was like, ah, this is so nice. Like, yeah, all right. That didn't get painted at the church, or that didn't happen the way that I want. Okay. And it was just like, it's going to happen. It's going to get finished. We didn't get an offer on the house like we had hoped, but it's going to come this week. And I don't know. There's just it's not an apathy. It's just a peace.
By the way, do you set any smile traps? You know, smile trap?
No. What's a smile trap?
Okay. So smile trap is like when you take your winter coat and you put a $20 bill on the inside. So next summer you'll reach in there and, oh, you know, or, you know, you're going on vacation. So you're going to come into a house. So you super clean it and do something so that when you walk in, you're like, ah, you know, that's a smile trap.
Oh, that's smart. I mean, our house was super clean before we left because we knew we were going to have showings and stuff. So when we came in, we didn't have to do a whole lot of cleaning. And Pastor Mike took good care of it too for us. But
sorry, I didn't mean to.
No. But where I want to go with this is you have employees. I'm sure you and Debbie deal with stress and anxiety at times like that and worry for different stuff. How do you manage catching your breath in that? How do you we talked about taking a vacation, but do you have, like, I don't know, for me, like, you know, people do breathing exercises, or they have songs that they'll sing, or they have those little tricks to kind of push them past it, if you will. Do you have any of those little life hacks?
Well, so let's do a little bit of a question answer, like a thought experiment,
okay,
if you will. So if you store up all of your catching your breath for a vacation, you're going to spend a lot of the majority of the time being out of breath, like looking 4 months from now. So you got to build like lesser vacations or lesser methods of doing that. So that maybe you take a big one to get the big one out of the way, but regularly having something else. So this is, and you'll see how this I tie this in, but this is going to be a stretch for a minute.
Okay.
So the topic comes up every once in a while. Like Europe has a 4-day work week. They have a 3-day weekend and a 4-day work week. And they claim that you get more productivity out of people when they work less, but they work maybe longer hours on 4 days, but then they get 3 days to catch their breath.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And so the back and forth now is it all depends on when you get an extra day delivered. So you go from a 5-day workday, and now I give you a 4-day workday. So now you got a day that you were working. What do you do with that day?
Yeah.
Now, if you just tuck it in with your weekend and it becomes just another day in your weekend, then you really didn't catch your breath.
Right.
But when you create that real estate that wasn't occupied by anything else, it's almost like paying off the bill and now you have $100 a month. What do you do with it? Do you use it to...
You go and get yourself in more debt like every other American.
That's it. It's
right,
exactly
so you can
right.
stress over it.
So this would be the same thing.
Right.
The way that you get your breath is when you carve out some sacred time that you didn't have before, you're really meaningful with what you do with that, so that it's sort of like it reciprocates. Like it's able to create more time and more able to breathe because you didn't have that gift yesterday and you have it today. So as long as you don't piss away those gifts like that, then, you know, you build it in. So, and let me tie it back in. So let's just say every Friday I do my budgeting, I do my work day, then I come home and whatever. So today I'm going to skip my budgeting and I'm going to take 2 hours of my day and I'm going to catch my breath, right? Which means that I turn off the distractions. I do something that I like and I set myself up for a Friday that's a little bit different. So what did I need to do? Clear out an hour worth of space, move everything out that used to be in there, and then make that special in some way. And it feels like a little mini vacation.
Yeah. So you talk about clearing out distractions.
Yes.
I think that's so important. My phone did ring when I was on vacation.
Right.
How do you manage technology for yourself? Because technology seems to demand 24/7 attention.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in charge of a company. You're going to get that call on Saturday night at 6 p.m. when you're in the middle of your margin time or your
right.
blank space. How do you manage that space? And are there tech hacks that people can do? Is there a way to silence certain notifications? Is there what do you do personally? Because I know you have kind of a rhythm to this.
So one of my mentors early on, and this laid in my head forever, is that you don't dam a river, you direct a river, right?
Mm.
You could direct the path of a river,
That's
you
good.
Don't get to dam it up. So what I do during those times is I have to take the things that are likely to happen, I think through everything that can happen, and I redirect them to a different place. So if it's phone calls I'm worried about, I have someone cover for me. If it's text messages, I have an auto reply. If it's email, I have an auto reply. And then in all of those things, I'm just saying, you're not going to talk to me right now, but you will talk to me X, right? If you say, I'm on vacation and screw you, right? You haven't directed it. You've dammed it. And that's the one thing you don't want to do is put, because then you'll worry. You'll stress about that people are not going to get covered and something's going to happen and you're not there. But if you're like, hey, there's not anything likely, Mike, to happen. While I'm away from this, whatever, can you make sure that all this stuff gets handled? And then you could walk away and not worry about it because Mike's got it.
Yeah.
Or your autoresponder's got it.
Yep. So. No, that totally makes sense. Yeah, and to some extent, I did do that, but with the building project, there were a few things that came up. They were like, what do you want to do with this? We don't want to destroy this wall, or we don't want to, like, yeah, please don't destroy that wall. But I think in a perfect scenario, what you're saying, 90, 95% can be handled.
Yeah, for sure.
Without
and the rest
you.
Of it's with an eight ball. So if they'd ask the eight ball what they should do in the building projects, that'll answer the question.
I had a pastor that I served. don't use the magic eight ball. That's bad. That is not going to get you your best life. Although that would probably make for an intriguing like YouTube video. Take a whole day with a magic eight ball and be like, whatever, you know.
Just do whatever it says to do. Yep.
That would be an interesting YouTube video. No, I worked with a pastor that, you know, he would go on a big vacation every year. And he would say, look, he was like, if the building burns down, call the fire department. Like, don't call me. I'll be away. If they're dead, bury them. Don't call me. Like, and he didn't mean that he didn't care. He was just saying, like,
I'm checking out.
This is it. I'm checking out. Like, the world is going to keep on spinning without me. And I think that that's so vital for people to position themselves in that way. Is there stuff you do on a daily basis? We try and do a tech fast every year where we just shut off all the tech stuff. And we do puzzles as a family and stuff like that. But I find it difficult. Like, sometimes I'll come home and I'm like, all right, dinner. And then after dinner, there's that email or a text message comes in. And the next thing you know, I've worked till 7 or 8 o'clock and I didn't pay attention to, I should have been playing with the kids or I should have been engaged in that. And I'm trying to be more conscious of that space. Is there stuff that you do when you go home? How do you give yourself that margin in a daily basis to kind of like, all right.
I used to hate as a kid when my parents used to make up a rule that made no practical sense for me. So as an adult, I just vowed I was never going to do that.
Yeah.
And so having an addiction to me is something that is practical. If you're addicted to doing it versus you just do it because you enjoy it. So if you go home and check your email because you enjoy it, what in the world would make you say, I don't want to have that enjoyment, right? Now, could I pick better ways of enjoyment? Sure.
Sure.
Right? Because I, you don't want the guilt flowing through your veins and saying, well, I could be playing with my kid and I'm checking my, my email from now. So that's what I did. Like, I won't do a fast for the sake of punishing anything.
No.
I'll do a fast to make sure I'm not addicted to anything that I'm doing.
Yep.
And then I'll find if any of those addictions are real.
100%. No, it totally makes sense. I heard I was at Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Conference, probably 2015 in Pittsburgh. And one of the speakers said that when they're at work, they require their employees to be 100% there. We don't want them playing games on their phone. We don't want them on social media. We want them 100% engaged in their job. And she made an excellent point. She was like, so when you go home, why should your family only get 50% of you? And it was a really like, ooh, that makes it. And she talked about in that creating that space, particularly with tech. She goes, because we're always connected. There's always a way to get a hold of us, and we're so important. She kind of rolled her eyes that, you know, the world would not continue to spin if I don't pick up this phone call or take this email or whatever. And the other thing that she said that really stood out to me was, whatever you give your attention to in that moment, you give your, you know, your, you're not going to be able to just put it down. So she's like, if you see that that message comes through, she goes, if you're anything like me, even if you put your phone down, be like, I'll respond to that later, your brain is already responding to that over here. So right. Even if you're engaged in a conversation, you're not really engaged in that conversation. And so she talked about the way that she gave herself margin and shutting things off so that she could be 100% present with her kids and spouse and stuff.
Yeah, with our staff, we have this rule that if somebody calls you, that you pick up your phone, right? And then everybody is going to try to never have to call you. So if you ever see your phone ring from any of our staff, we know it's important. But no one will, in my employ, will ever call and bug you at home if it's not house is on fire type of stuff. Yeah.
So that's your set rule.
That's
here.
My rule. Yeah, you don't call and try. That's what you put all of your energy and effort, not figuring out if you should call, but trying not to have to call. It's a big difference. Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting. My wife loves this, but struggles with this a little bit. Anytime she calls, 99% of the time, unless I'm like really in the middle of like crisis counseling or somebody's going to commit suicide, like something that 99% I could be on in a meeting with the president of the United States, and I tell her I'm going to take the call because you're the most important person on planet Earth. And so there are times where she'll call just to like say, hey, and I'll be like, hey, I'm in the middle of this meeting. You know, remember it's on the calendar or whatever, is something you need? Oh no, I was just calling to say hi or whatever. She's like, don't pick up next time. I'm like, I'm always going to pick up when it's you. And it's a priority thing. I heard it, I think, at a conference somewhere, and I've done it now for enough time that she knows, like, all right, you know, she can see my calendar and she knows, all right, yeah, I'm not going to call him here.
Or the first thing out of her mouth is, can you talk?
Yeah.
Right.
Correct. So, but I think valuing that at work is great. I just think for a lot of us, particularly for me, I'll say learning to value that space at home and not dragging work home in that sense.
Well, and honestly, there's – I mean, when you don't have boundaries and rules of dealing with relationships, people will step into your boundaries really if you don't let them know that there were boundaries in the first place. So when I carve things out, I let people know like what I'll tolerate and what I won't, because – you know, not everybody works my schedule. They don't know what's sacred to me or not. And if you call me when I'm really enjoying some family time, you didn't know any better. But I let people know that, hey, this time to this time, off limits.
Yeah. I used the illustration of guardrails. If you've ever driven on a windy road or whatever, you'll see sometimes guardrails, and there may be a big cliff there. But the guardrails aren't necessarily there because you can't drive that close to the edge. They're there to keep you from going off the cliff. And so sometimes you have to put those guardrails a little further up the embankment. You don't put a guardrail halfway down the cliff. It doesn't do any good. So sometimes you have to put it in spots where it may eat into some freedoms or some things that you have, but you're protecting something else. And that's true in relationships. That's true in time management. But I think even in this, like you were just saying, like, hey, I have some sacred space here. So, yeah, I'm going to put the guardrail up here, and I might even be a little bit of a jerk about it. But if you bump into that guardrail, you're going to ding up your car, because this what's happening over here is far more important than the phone call you're about to make.
Yeah, and the same strategy. Like, I used to get super pissed off on weekends or in the evening when I get a customer call wanting me to come do something, especially if it absolutely could have waited until Monday. Because I will take it as an emergency, and I'll rush my butt out of there and go fix something and find out something stupid. Oh, I used to get – so it
– like you should have plugged that in.
Yeah. So I was – anybody who I would pick up the phone for, I'd let them know to try not to ever have to call me. Same philosophy as I do with that other stuff. We kind of say it in the household is that we punch people in the invoice if they do something like that, right? Okay. That's the guardrail. That's the boundary.
Yeah.
You feel that one a little bit.
Yeah, and you have to. But even with even with family, everybody has a different level of comfort and expectations with time and stuff like that. So as you get into relationships, you're kind of feeling out where the other person's guardrails are, where their sacred space is, where's the stuff that, well, you know what, I do that a little bit differently than them. They're not wrong necessarily, but our two cars are going to bump together if we don't put a guardrail there because we do it differently. I just spent, a couple days with family, and I love my brothers. We all have beautiful, wonderful children, but we all parent differently. It's okay. I'm a little more high strung, like I said. My one brother Don is a little more free and loves the adventure, and his boys are awesome. But we all do it a little differently. It's not necessarily right or wrong. But when we get into that space, I have to remind myself all the time, like, they're not my kids. Like, that's not – like, there are things that I'll be like, I want to correct because I would correct them with my own. But I'm like, oh, that's not my responsibility. Or they'll correct them this way, and I'm like, I don't think they're getting that message, yeah. Like, or whatever. But if you don't have those conversations – and my siblings and I have had those conversations. If you don't have those conversations, it's very difficult when your cars bump together because you didn't have a guardrail there. You didn't have a boundary there. And it could deflate your tires. It can put relationships in a wreck. And so, having those conversations is always helpful. And particularly when it comes to time management and how you're going to spend that time to come up and kind of catch your breath.
Yeah. And so, I mean, if you find yourself living in a lot of chaos, a lot of that is just environmental and you haven't created enough rules and you don't have those guardrails that are set up. And then you find yourself needing to take your breath all the time, because as soon as you immerse yourself in your life, think about what if you came back and it would have been fire, right? That there would just been 1,000 things for you to jump on right away. That used to be my life, right? Yeah. I used to come back from a vacation and spend the next 4 months putting out every fire that happened while I was away. And I hated that my life was so tumultuous and chaotic. So I had to really do a lot of more cover fire before I went away, and so that stuff stopped happening.
Yeah. No, and it's super challenging because most folks are not – they just want to get to the vacation, right? We're all like, oh, I made it. And we're not thinking about that in advance. Most people are kind of mailing it in the 2 or 3 days before they go. They're like, all right, I just, you know, it's almost Friday. I almost get to go on vacation or whatever. And they get that kind of mentality. And then they get to vacation. And it's great, wonderful, all those sort of things. But then they come back and like, oh, crap, I should have done
it's
that.
My life again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep,
it's all
works tomorrow.
Me.
Here's a Monday.
Yeah. I hate that. No. The TGIF thing, I cannot stand that. Like, if you are living for 2 days on a weekend, you're doing it wrong. Like,
big time.
I can't wait for Mondays. Mondays are, it's like, great, let's get back into this thing. Let's get, I don't get back into it. I'm in it. but you never have that, that moment when you're living for the weekend and you hate what you're doing the other days. Quit your job. You can make money elsewhere.
That's like, exactly.
It's
right.
Not worth it. You're spending your whole life. You get one shot at this thing. So don't do something you hate. Well, we keep going on this topic, but we're going to talk about aliens on Tuesday, and I'm super stoked for that. So if you want to hear us ramble on about aliens and green guys from Mars, it's going to be a sweet time on Tuesday. But that about does it. Get yourself a breath of fresh air today. Go sit outside for 10 minutes, let the sun hit you on the face, and just soak it in. You deserve it, and you'll be better for it.